blessed thought it is that we do indeed stand on the promises of God, knowing that God cannot lie, that He indeed is faithful, trustworthy in all that He says and all that He promises. I'd like to take you back to the Apostle Paul and some lessons that we learned from a prayer that he once offered. We find in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verses 7 through 10, he says, "Lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" The word from which thorn is translated literally means any pointed thing. The strength, understanding, and hope found in this passage are for everyone who is suffering, regardless of what their thorns may be, regardless of what might be poking you, regardless of what might be on your mind and causing you discomfort emotionally, spiritually, or in any way. There is strength to be gained from the revelation that is given to Paul in regards to his thorn in the flesh. Paul's first viewed this thorn as something only to be relieved of, a burden to be removed. And I think that's how we feel, isn't it? When we experience different thorns in our life, different troubles, different tribulations, I think the best thing to do is just, let's just get rid of this as soon as possible. But that wasn't the case. His thorn drove him to God in prayer. In this communion with the Lord, Paul learned some things about his thorn, about himself, and about how God works in the lives of those who serve Him. In verse 8, he says, "Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me." The word pleaded here in the Greek means to call to one side or aid, to beg, to entreat, to strive, to appease by entreaty. Pleaded is a good translation, isn't it? He pled with God. He didn't just ask God to remove this thorn. He was pleading with God to remove it. He was antagonized by it. It says that he pleaded with the Lord three times. The same number of times our Lord prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane on the night before His crucifixion. And we all know that His agony on that evening was so much that His sweat was as blood. If we expect our prayers to avail anything, we must pray earnestly and fervently. We must pray energetically to God. You know, God is not our servant that we call upon whenever we're in trouble. Certainly He wants us to call upon Him and recognize that He is our source of strength and our source of comfort. But we must not ever take Him for granted. Paul pleaded with the Lord three times. And he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. This was not the answer Paul was expecting. Paul was probably expecting that this thorn in the flesh would be removed from him. Nevertheless, this was an explanation Paul needed. Paul, much like Job in the tribulations that he experienced, didn't understand what was going on. He didn't understand how good can come out of so much pain, so much affliction. Removal of the thorn would have been for this his immediate physical benefit. However, there were long-term spiritual benefits if the thorn remained. Instead of removing the thorn, God answered the prayer with a revelation. And this supplied Paul with the strength and motivation to endure his thorn to the glory and victory of God, something he could not have done without revelation. And I want you to understand that as God is giving Paul this revelation concerning his thorn, he's also giving each and every one of us the same revelation concerning our thorn in the flesh, our trouble, our tribulation, whatever we may be experiencing. He says, therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I want you to notice that he says, therefore. In light of what God has said here, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul reflected on that and came to the conclusion that he would gladly boast in his infirmities, that the power of Christ might be evident in his life. We noticed this morning that he said, it's no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. He lived to the praise and the honor and the glory of God. And if he could do that by bearing this thorn in the flesh, whatever it was, he would do it most gladly. He did this for Christ's sake. He says, for when I am weak, then I am strong. And it wasn't that Paul was strong, it was that the strength of Christ was evidently strong within him as he bore this to the honor and the glory of God. As he did not shirk any of his responsibilities, that he did not let off, but he kept continuing in doing the will of God, he said the strength of Christ indeed is evident in him, just as he has stated here in verse 9, that the power of Christ may rest upon me, may be evident in me. See, God's limitless ability in our lives is available to us only when we acknowledge our inability. Paul couldn't do anything about his thorn in the flesh. That's why he was pleading with God that it might be removed from him. And it's also very apparent here that Paul perhaps was excusing himself from doing some things because of the thorn in the flesh. His view of it was that it was somehow handicapping him from glorifying God. And God said exactly the opposite was true. In Philippians 4 and verses 12 through 13, Paul would write, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere, And in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can't help but think that as Paul was writing about this, that everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, that part of that learning process goes back to this thorn in the flesh and this revelation that God gave him in answer to his prayer. You'll notice that in verse 7, Paul correctly identifies this thorn in the flesh as a messenger of Satan. He knew where the thorn came from. He knew that, as is revealed in James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. Well, then where does trouble and tribulation and thorns in the flesh, where do they come from? These are messengers of Satan to buffet us, to antagonize us, to dissuade us, to discourage us, to doubt God, to doubt the promises of God that we stand on. Paul realized where this thorn in the flesh came from. It wasn't from God. But God was aware of the thorn in the flesh, and God was going to use that thorn for good rather than for evil, which Satan intended it to be for. Paul was correct in seeing that this thorn came from Satan, but he did not realize how God could use it to his benefit until God revealed that to him in this revelation after he had prayed, pleaded with God three times. You see, God has been doing things like this to Satan since the very beginning, going all the way back to Adam and Eve. Satan thought, I've won. Adam and Eve have sinned. The wages of sin is death. Game over. God said exactly the opposite. It's game on. Love is greater than hate. Love will be victorious over hatred and over sin. Love conquers all. Others focused is more important than self-centered pride and egotistical boasting of oneself, of which Satan was evidently guilty of, trying to usurp the authority of God. He and his angels were cast out of heaven. Perhaps a challenge was delivered by Satan to God. The first challenge, perhaps. A challenge that we see somewhat repeated in the story of Job. Where have you been, Satan? Oh, I've just been walking around on the earth. Yeah. Well, the rest of the story was seeking whom you might devour. Have you considered my servant Job? Perhaps Satan delivered a challenge at the very beginning. Any created being would always choose to live for self rather than for others. I know that you are love and mercy and grace. But any created being would seek to elevate self rather than live for others. Perhaps God accepted that challenge. Perhaps Satan thought when he had deceived Eve and led Adam to participate in that sin, that it's game over. I've proved my point. And God said, no, the point is yet to be made. The seed of woman will bruise your head. Love will conquer. We notice a point very similar to this past Wednesday night in our adult Bible study as we were looking at our study of 1 Timothy chapter 2 and how that we saw that the woman shall be saved in childbearing. Satan had used the woman to introduce sin to mankind. But God used the woman, the same vessel, to bring salvation to mankind. God has been doing this from the very beginning, that every time Satan thinks that he's gained the victory, God says, no, I'm going to use that to show you how great I am. That's what he is saying to Paul here. My strength is made perfect in weakness. The ultimate demonstration of that was in the Word of God made flesh and Jesus Christ. You know, you can't help but think that when you think about this thorn in the flesh, and the definition of thorn here in the Greek is any pointed thing, I can't help but think of the nails that pierced the hands and the feet of Jesus to put him on the cross. When you think of the fact that Paul pleaded with God three times that this thorn might be removed from him, I can't help but think of the fact that Jesus prayed to the Father three times the night before he was crucified. If it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. If you turn over to Hebrews chapter 2, in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10, it says, it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Ultimately demonstrated in the crucifixion of Christ. Once again, Satan thinks, well, game over now. No. The door is open to victory and the resurrection of Christ, that death will not be victorious, but life triumphs over death. May we know where our thorns come from. We're not tempted by God. We're not tested by God. These things are messengers of Satan. Sin in the lives of others that has an effect upon us. Perhaps our own sins and the consequences of those sins, the practice of those sins that we have to endure. May we know that God's limitless ability is available to us only when we acknowledge our inability. I can't handle this alone. And we look to God and we trust in His promises that He'll never leave us, He'll never forsake us, that He's always with us. May God's revelation supply us with the strength and motivation to endure our thorns to the glory and the victory of God. And may we know and trust, God, that we can do all things through Christ, who loves us and supplies us with all things we have need of. May we use all of God's blessings to defeat Satan and glorify God. The thorns in the flesh might not be removed, but they can be endured. And we can honor God by so enduring them, trusting Him and looking to Him for strength and guidance, and always enduring our thorns in the flesh as He directs us to from His Word. What a wonderful blessing. What a wonderful revelation is made to us here in this wonderful passage. My grace is sufficient for you. I don't owe you any explanation, Paul. Nevertheless, it's good for you to know this. My strength is made perfect in weakness. You're not weak. You're strong, Paul. You can do this. Nothing is given to you but what you're able to bear it. You can handle this, and you can honor me and glorify me, and I will receive you into my home of glory forever and ever and ever. I don't know what thorn in the flesh you might be bearing this day. I know we all bear some kind, and some are greater and more intense than others. But may we always take heart in knowing that as we endure these things faithfully, the way God teaches us to endure them, that He is proud of us, that we are honoring Him, that we are living for Him, and we are letting our light shine for Him. Standing on the promises of God. Yes, absolutely. Do you? Have you been baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins? All spiritual blessings are in Christ. Are you in Christ? If not, why not? Life is so much better when you have this valid hope of knowing that God loves you and cares for you. He's interested in the things that are in your life. This promise of always being with us in every aspect of our life. He weeps with us when we weep. He rejoices with us when we rejoice. What a blessed peace that is. If you're subject to the invitation tonight in any way, we'd encourage you to come as we stand and sing this song.